been our text over the past couple of weeks, again today. Matthew's commentary on the announcement of Jesus' birth, the incarnation, we call it. Perhaps the most awe-inspiring fact of the Christmas story, God clothing himself in humanity's flesh, God himself becoming just like us. Think of it for a moment. God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, becoming just like us, becoming one of us. Matthew 1, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The very presence of the very holy and the very powerful, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-gracious, all-merciful, the very presence of God is with us today. Again, think of it for a moment. Let it capture your attention today here in the room. God is with me. God is with you. God is with us. We are never alone. In fact, would you just say that with me this morning? I am not alone. Just say that. I never will be alone. Say it once more. I am not alone. Because the great Christmas announcement, Jesus is born. Emmanuel has come. God is with us. So this morning, once more, for the third time, now my prayer for you, you already know it. I pray, it's the four words that wake you every morning, consume your thoughts every day, put you to bed every night. God is with me. I pray that every stress, every worry, every concern, every sorrow, every difficulty, every problem, every obstacle, every whatever that would potentially find its way into your life during this Christmas time, I pray all of it, before it gets to you, I pray that you make it pass through the great message of Christmas. Oh, but God is with me. He is with us in the valleys, even in the wilderness, and not just there, but as well this morning in the storm. In the wilderness, in the valley, in the storm, anywhere, everywhere, anytime, all the time. Come on, once more. God is with me. It's true. Life can be very difficult at times. Storms rage in us and around us. You know that to be true. You don't need me to tell you it's true. It's been said, and though I think not necessarily encouraging, probably nevertheless true, you're either in a storm, you're in trouble, you're in a difficult season, or you're coming out of one, or you're about to enter one. Life is sort of like that, isn't it? Probably, I desperately hope, not the most encouraging thing you're going to hear today, but probably true. Life defined by the storms, marked by the storms, the difficult and the painful that sort of moves its way into the area that is our life. Life is filled with storms. Just think of that. Isn't it true this morning how good to consider a day when a trumpet's going to sound and we will no longer be here, but we will be there to be forever with him. And in heaven, there will be no storms that you have to go through or that you have to experience. I was thinking only the good make you want to take a nap time. Those storms maybe we'll have in heaven. But the storms that cause the pain, create the difficulty for us, no storms there. But until then, we're sort of on this boat that is our life in the middle of the sea that is life. And every once in a while, the wind begins to blow. Our kids are in trouble. not making wise decisions, not serving Jesus, causing problems in the home. There's rebellion, there's hatred, there's anger, there's brokenness in the relationship. The waves begin to crash against the side of the boat, our boat. Husband comes home and tells of the layoffs that are going to be happening. Wife comes home and tells of the report the doctor has given to her. Dad and mom sit down with the kids to tell them they've decided to go their separate ways. The unexpected expense comes, followed by more unexpected expenses. The friend that has always been a friend betrays. This last week, a friend from Facebook, though really a friend from church back in the day, he wrote some of the struggles, some of the things that his week had included. And he concluded it with a positive note of trusting in the Lord, but this is what he wrote. Been thrown under the bus, falsely accused, misunderstood, and rejected this week. How's that for a stormy? You thought your week was bad. How's that for a week filled with the storm? On and on we could go. Things just like that, the false accusation, the misunderstanding, the rejection, all that we go through, all that life throws at us, all the ways that the winds blow and the waves crash, before we know it, we're in the worst storm we've ever maybe encountered. Some of you are maybe there right now. In your finances, in your marriage, in your relationship, in your work, all around you, severe storms brewing, moving in. It's cloudy with a chance of real wind and rain falling all over you. Something's not right at home. Something's gone bad in the workplace. Turmoil that you're in the middle of, fear that's welling up inside of you, uncertainty, worry, chaos that seems to abound. Call it however you want. Describe it however you want. There's a storm and you're in the middle of it. And maybe you're even here this morning wondering where Jesus is while you are. Because that's what the storm tends to do in us. That's the effect the storm tends to have on us. Make us to lose sight of Jesus. Make us to wonder where Jesus is. Make us to forget that He is with us, even in the storm. So in the valley, remember, you get to enjoy the Lord on the mountaintop, but it's in the valley where you get to know and experience Him intimately. And in the wilderness, remember, it's the wilderness that brings the whisper, because He's close. He's near you, even in the wilderness. It's the wilderness that can be for you the greatest of gifts, because it's the wilderness that drives you to God. Wilderness time can be well-spent time when it does like that. And now this morning in the storm, don't ever let the storm make you to forget, make you to doubt God's presence with you. Don't ever let the storm make you to forget that it's God Himself, God who is with you, that is for you your peace. Don't ever let the storm make you to forget that it's in the storm we get to hear His voice of power that speaks His peace into our lives, for us, over us. Some of you in the middle of the storm this morning, I believe that God would meet with you here, that He might speak in your life and over your life His peace. Matthew chapter 8, we read this story. Jesus got into the boat in verse 23, started across the lake with His disciples. Verse 24, suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. Other translations say it this way, without warning, A furious storm came up on the lake. That's the storms of life. They tend to come out of nowhere. Sunshine and blue skies, smooth sailing, and then nothing but storm clouds, wind, and waves that are about to sink us. Storms leave us wondering, how in the world did things go from so good to so bad so quickly? Our tendency on the Weather Channel, we can see the storm way far away and we can watch it, and we're preparing and we're running to the grocery store to get more food and water and whatever else, because we can see this storm is coming and we're maybe about to get snowed in, or maybe the hurricane's coming, or the storm that's going to blow out the power, it's coming, and we can see it and we can plan and prepare for it. I think the storms of life, though, don't necessarily work that way. They work more in line with Matthew chapter 8. Suddenly, without warning, here we are in the middle of a storm. It seems to get the better of us. Verse 24, a fierce storm struck the lake, waves breaking into the boat. And the disciples, verse 25, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. That's the storm. It's the difficulty that makes us to sincerely feel that we're not going to make it through. That's the intensity of life's storms. Some of us, we know what it is to have difficulty. We don't like it, but in the midst of it, we know we're going to be okay. When the storm comes, you identify it by its difference. You're not sure you're going to be okay. You're not sure you're going to make it through. Make us feel that we're sinking and sinking fast, and it's just a matter of time. We're going to be sunk, shipwrecked, drowned in the trouble, drowned in the storm. Remember in Matthew chapter 8, these were fishermen. They knew the water. They knew the wind and the waves. But when the storm comes, all the experience, all our know-how seems to be of no value whatsoever. It's what makes the storm to be the storm. We go through difficulty. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll just be more careful here. I'll just fix that. I'll just call up this person. Again, we don't like the difficulty. It makes life difficult for us, but we know how to navigate through the difficulty. The storm comes, and all our know-how is gone, and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to fix it. It's a storm, after all. We can't control that. It's beyond our ability to control. Their thought, their immediate response, we're not going to make it. In Mark, Mark's gospel tells the story this way, where the disciples say to Jesus, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's the talk that the storm brings out of us. Listen, if you're wondering whether or not Jesus cares for you this morning, listen to me. You're letting the storm do your talking for you. In the storm, our tendency, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? The storm stirs up panic within us. That's the confusion. That's the doubt that the storm brings. Even the doubt, even the question as to whether or not God cares about us, whether or not God loves us, whether or not God is with us in the storm. In Acts 27, we read of another storm. The Apostle Paul is stuck in this one. Verse 14 of Acts 27, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. Listen to this. So we gave way to it and were driven along by it. I like the way the Message reads. They lost all control of the ship. It was a cork in the storm. That's maybe the real trouble that the storm brings. No control. Just driven along. Almost the sense that even if we could come up with the answer to the storm's problem, it would be of little value because we feel powerless to enforce the answer. The storm has complete control over us. We can turn the wheel to the left or to the right because, wow, it looks like smoother sailing over there or over there. I know that's what we'll do. We'll just head that way, and the storm will be gone, and the smooth waters, the smooth sailing will be back. But then as we try to turn that thing, it's the novel. We've lost all control of this ship that is our life. It doesn't do us any good, our steering, because the storm is moving us. Paul's story continues. As we passed the sheltered side of a small island, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Isn't that a strange picture? Tossed about on the wind and the waves. We need to rope this thing together. Can you imagine that picture? Paul and these men on that ship in that kind of trouble. It's true, when the storm comes, we're looking for anything just to keep it together. When the men had hoisted it aboard, past ropes, fearing that they would run aground, they lowered the sea anchor, let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they begin to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Do you know that kind of storm? The one that keeps raging. The rain just keeps falling. It seems to let up, but alas, only for a moment. And then it's more wind, more the waves, more the storm. It's the proverbial, when it rains, it pours. It's just one thing after another. It seems as if the storm that has come into your life, as if that weren't enough, the storm really has just opened the floodgates, and now it's nothing but rain all over you. It's nothing but the wind and waves crashing, and it just won't let up. It keeps going. It keeps raging. It just doesn't stop until now we're left. The storm's still there, but hope now gone. Some of you this morning may be here today without hope for help, without hope for healing, without hope for restoration, without hope for your finances, without hope for your marriage, without hope for your job, without hope for your family. Maybe this morning the storm has done that to you, made you to give up all hope. Verse 21, as we continue Paul's story. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Not sure if Paul probably should have said that. Paul's going to say some good stuff. We'll get there in a second. I think Paul should have just led with the good stuff. I'm pretty sure it's not the best thing Paul could have said. I think it's sort of Paul's, I told you so. Do you know those kind of people? I told you so. I told you shouldn't have taken that job. I told you shouldn't have bought that. I told you shouldn't have gone there. We tend to want to hit people that tell us, I told you so. Here's the thing, though. Paul's right. You read the story. The crew left. It was too late in the year. It was the season for storms. This is not something unexpected or unplanned for. They should have been fully aware. You know what caught them off guard? A few days of good weather made them to forget. This is the stormy season when we ought not to be out on the water. They got caught up in the good weather and decided, let's go for it. We'll make it. We can do it. Paul was right. It was their faults. Without being that person, can I remind you Sometimes the storm is your fault. Sometimes the storm is my fault. I know that we would always love to be able to blame it on the devil and other people. And I know we're very good at blaming it on the devil and blaming other people. But sometimes we just can't. We have to go the route of honesty and admit it's all on us. We're in the storm because we spent too much money. We're in the storm because we didn't budget. It's not the devil. It's not other people. We brought the storm into our own lives. We're in the storm because we let the emotions get the better of us. It's not the devil's fault. Devil didn't make me say that, nor did he make me do that. Nor even did that person make me say that or do that. I knew I shouldn't say that. I knew I shouldn't do that. But I let all the rest get the better of me. I said it. I did it. The emotions got the better of me, and now the storm has come, and it is my fault. We're in the storm because we procrastinated. We're in the storm because we didn't listen. We're well on our way into Proverbs, and already, if you've been reading it, you've caught it. It is good to listen to wisdom. It is good to fill your life with advisors who would speak wisdom into your situation. We're in the storm because though we heard the wise counsel and the wise advice, we ignored it. Now we're in the storm. We're in the storm because though God said don't, we did. And though God said, do it, we didn't. I wonder if maybe this crew gave up hope because of that. Think of it for a moment. I think it's true probably for all of us. Life, the devil, somebody else puts you in a storm. It's easier to believe that God will get you out of it. I'm working. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm showing up on time. I'm doing everything that the boss asks of me. I'm a good worker, good relationship with my colleagues, respectful to the boss, attentive to the instruction, diligent to do the work, conscientious to give it my best. And then I get called into the office. I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. You don't have a job here anymore as of today. We've got to fire you. We walk out of that conversation and that meeting. Well, you know what? I'm just going to believe God has something better for me. That tends to be, we're discouraged. We're a little bit wondering what's going to happen. How's this all going to work? But we leave knowing, fully confident, God's going to take it. God's got this for sure. Now the story is different. We weren't on time. We were late all the time. We were fighting with them and we were fighting with them. We were talking bad about them. They were talking bad about us. We didn't get along with the boss. We told him how little we thought of him every time we had the chance, whether he was in the room or not. We weren't doing what was asked of us, not on time. We had better things to do, other things to do. And now all of a sudden we have that conversation where we're called into the office. We're going to have to let you go. And now we recognize the storm. That's on me. I'm the reason for it. I'm the culprit. It's my fault. And I think a lot of times when we recognize that, there's a sense, I don't deserve to be rescued. I did this to myself, and now I just think God's going to come in and rescue me. It was all my fault. It was all me. And now God's just going to come bail me out as if it's no big deal. I think sometimes when we enter into the storm that is of our making, we have a tendency to quickly lose hope. The storm continued for whatever the reason. They gave up all hope. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, probably what he should have led with, men, you should have taken my advice, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. Don't we love that guy compared to the I told you so guy? Listen, don't be the I told you so. Be the one, you're not going to be lost. Be of courage. Be of great faith. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Don't ever let the storm make you to doubt God's presence with you. Keep up your courage. Some of you this morning, you need to hear that. Keep up your courage. Keep up your faith. God is with you. You maybe aren't aware of it. Most likely, in fact, not. The real problem, you've maybe forgotten it altogether. But the Lord sends his angels to watch over you, to protect you, to guard you, even to carry to you the simple message. Don't be afraid. It's not weird. It's not crazy supernatural nonsense. It's biblical truth. The Lord sends to you his angel to watch over you, to speak life into you. It's true. There's a spiritual reality that is just as real, even greater than the physical reality that we live in. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and some of you, you'll remember this story. The servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning. Army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. This time it's the prophet Elisha. Not unlike his predecessor, Elisha was very often in trouble with the wicked kings of his day. More often than not, he was being chased by one of those wicked kings who sought to kill him. And here's the scenario, and you can imagine the picture. The servant wakes up, they're in the city, they're on the run, and he goes out to enjoy a beautiful morning, and there, all around the city, the army of the king that would seek to destroy the prophet and his servant. Elisha responds, don't be afraid. You know, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. May your eyes be opened this morning to see the angelic host surrounding you. May you keep up your courage. God is with you. His spirit is within you. God hears you. He hears your cry. He comforts you. He heals you in your hurt. He guides you and directs you in your confusion. The storm may be raging all around you, but if you'll open your eyes, if you'll let God to open your eyes this morning, you'll see again that he is with you. Keep up your courage because of that. Be strengthened knowing that. Paul says this in 2 Timothy. At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. I know it's the simple message today, but still some need to hear it, need to take hold of it this morning. What you're going through, it may seem that everyone else has deserted you. God has not. He is with you, and his presence with you will strengthen you today and deliver you today. Psalm 16, the psalmist writes, I know the Lord is always with me. Look at what it does for him. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad. Watch this. And I rejoice. in the storm more than what's going on around you. Listen to me this morning. In the storm, it's not about the storm. It's all about who is with you. It'll change you. It'll help your faith. It'll build your faith. It'll set your heart to rejoicing. Even in the midst of the storm, God with you will do that for you. Keep up your courage. The storm is not going to take you down. You still have work to do. Isn't that the message to Paul? It's kind of along this line. Paul, you're not going down in this battle because I have more battles for you to fight. I love that. When you look at Paul's life, you wonder who's doing what. You wonder, have a tendency to wonder, where's God protecting his man? Where's God protecting the apostle that's taking the gospel message all over the world? The crowd gets the better of him. They stone him. They kick him out of town. He gets arrested, now on trial before Caesar. But did you catch it in Acts? The Lord comes, Paul, you've got to go to Caesar. Paul, Caesar's not in charge of you. The Roman army is not in charge of you. I am, and I've made an appointment with you to stand before Caesar to make my truth to be known. You still have work to do. God has more for you to do. He's not finished with you yet. I like the way that one pastor puts it. If you're not dead, you're not done. God has more people for you to love, more opportunities for you to serve, more people for you to bless. The ship may go down, but the storm will not take you out. In fact, this is the power and the wisdom and the graciousness and the goodness of God. He will use you. He will use you from your own storm experience to speak life and healing and blessing and encouragement to those now in their own storm. God with you. Paul knows it. The angel shows up. It's biblical truth. It's not weird or crazy. It's scripture. Angels sent to guard you. Listen to me, dear believer. Sometimes you are the angel that sits next to the brother. Not I told you so, but be of great courage. Be strong in the Lord. Have faith. This is not going to take you out. God has more for you to do. God wants to work in you. God wants to bless through you. God wants to use you. Sometimes you're the angel that God sends to that other believer so that you can tell them, let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me testify to God's presence and God's power and God's peace, even in the midst of the darkest days, the most difficult times, and the most severe of storms. Look at it again in verse 25. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Listen to me this morning. Your faith is not to be in what you can see. Your faith is to be in what God has said. Never let what you see make you forget what God has said. Never let the storm make you forget what God has said. Never forget God's word. Listen to me this morning. Forget the wind. Forget the waves. Forget what you can see, but set your heart and mind on what God has said. Forget all the rest, but don't forget his words. Can I ask you this morning, what consumes your thoughts today? What do you talk about today? The storm? How strong the wind is? How high the waves are crashing over the boat that is your life? What is it that consumes your thought? What is it that consumes your talk? Is it the storm that you can see or the word that God has spoken? What do you talk about today? Is it the storm? Oh, the storm. the trouble of the storm, or is it God is with me, never leaves me, never forsakes me? God is for me. God loves me with an everlasting love. He is my rock. He's my strong tower. He is my refuge. Listen, we don't go by what we see. We go by what he said. Makes all the difference in your life this morning. Some of you, listen to me, you're consumed by the storm, and you need to find a way to get your mind and your heart off the storm and instead on what God has said. Keep up your courage. Keep up your faith. When the storms rage, when they crash against your life, hold on to the word of God. Let his word be the anchor that keeps you secure, that keeps you at peace. Put your faith, listen to me, put your faith not in your boat. Put your faith in the one who commands the winds and the waves to be still. Can I ask you this morning, where is your faith? Is your faith in the boat or the one who commands the storm? What to do and where to go? Back to the disciples and their storm in Matthew 8. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, waves breaking in. Jesus sleeping. The disciples went and woke him. Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly all was calm. And the disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the wind and the waves obey him. I love that. Jesus sleeping, soaked to the skin, wood planks for a pillow. He sleeps in the back of the boat, at rest, at peace, in the Father's care, even in the storm. You may be here this morning thinking there can be no rest for you until the storm subsides. And I'm here to tell you today, you can find rest in him right now, despite the storm still raging. Jesus rises and speaks. First, the rebuke, why are you so afraid? You have so little faith. Can I just tell you this morning, if your faith is only good for the calm waters, it's really no faith at all. If you don't have a faith that sustains you through the storm, I think of it often, and I don't mean to digress this morning, but often in Christianity today, we're so often taught your faith will keep you out of every storm. Just have faith. Everything will be perfect. Well, everything's not perfect. Well, you don't have enough faith. You need more faith. Get more faith. That shouldn't be happening to you. Your bank account should be full, not depleted. You shouldn't be sick. You should be healthy. You need more faith. You got to have more faith. You wouldn't be in the storm if you had more faith. And I'm just telling you this morning, not the truth of Christian TV, but I'm going to tell you the truth of God's word. If you don't have faith that will sustain you through the storm as well as the calm waters, you in fact don't even have any faith at all. The storm's going to come. You better have a faith that will sustain you through the storm as well as through the smooth sailing. And then the peace. There was peace in the storm for the disciples because Jesus was with them in the storm. So here it is this morning. Real peace is not found in the absence of trouble. That's what we tend to think. The trouble goes away, I'll have peace. But peace is not found in the trouble or the lack thereof. Peace is not found in the absence of a storm. That's what we tend to think. Well, when the storm subsides, I'll have peace. Real peace is not found in sunshine and blue skies and smooth sailing. You know it this morning, though we're often confused and get it distorted in our lives. You know where I'm headed here. Real peace is found in the presence of Jesus. It doesn't matter valley, wilderness, or storm. If Jesus is with you, and he is because he's Emmanuel after all, you have access right now without one thing changing in your life, in your circumstance, right now. Because you have access to him, you have access to perfect peace. So the question for you this morning, do you have that? You think, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I need this fixed. Then everything will be peaceful. I mean, Pastor, I don't need a lot of things. I just need this one thing fixed, and then I can know the peace. And I'm telling you, you're in fact wrong. You don't need that fixed. You need Jesus, and you'll have all the peace you would ever want or you would ever need. I said it a moment ago, some of you think there can be no rest until the storm subsides. What you need is to experience, to have affirmed in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and in your spirit, an awareness of God with you. Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in God, that He'll see you through. That He'll be for you your deliverance, that He will provide, that He'll heal. And even in the middle of the storm, He'll speak the words over you. Peace. Be still. It's true, you can't control the storm, but you can control what you believe. You can control where you put your faith. Let the storm make you forget His presence, doubt His care and His love for you, and your life will be consumed by fear in the midst of the storm, and the fear will set you up for failure. Put your faith in God. And rather than cause for panic, the storm will become an opportunity for praise as you discover, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey Him? Who is this? This is my God. Mine is the God whom the winds and the waves obey. Mine is the God who calms the wind and the waves. Mine is the God who controls the storm. Listen, some of you this morning may feel that the storm has control over you, like we read it in Acts. You're just a cork in the middle of the storm. You may feel that the storm is like that in your life, having absolute control, moving you wherever it wants. I'm here to tell you this morning, remember your God, because He's the one who controls the storm. You think the storm is all there is? No, because yours is the God who has authority over that storm. That storm must listen to His word. The wind and the waves must calm themselves at His command. Put your faith in God, His presence with you, Him your refuge and strength. You'll have no fear even in the storm. It's what David wrote. God is our refuge and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The storm comes, I will not fear. I lost my job. The relationship has fallen apart. The economy's taken a nosedive. I will not fear because God is with me. He is Emmanuel. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my shelter, my refuge, my strong tower, my strength, my comforter, my healer, my provider, my redeemer, my joy, my life, and my peace. God is with me. He is my ever-present help. I won't be afraid. I will not fear, not in the valley, not in the wilderness, not in the storm. Don't ever let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Don't ever let the storm make you to doubt His care over you, His love for you. Don't ever let the storm make you to forget that it is God Himself who is your peace. Your peace this morning does not come from circumstances and everything being made right and good. Peace comes from Him. You have access to Him. His Spirit lives within you. You have an open invitation to come boldly into His throne room and meet with Him. God will change your circumstances. God will work a miracle in your life because He is, after all, the miracle-working, all-powerful God. But I'm telling you this morning, You don't need for him to do that to experience the peace that he would want you to have this morning. The peace that he makes available to you in him. Don't ever let the storm make you forget that it's in the storm he speaks. Peace. Because of his power, the wind, the waves, the storm must obey. He, Emmanuel, God with us, will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord God always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. In the storm, are you there this morning? Then I'm talking to you about today. Here, right now, in this moment, in this stormy season of your life, your heart and your mind can be at rest and in peace in him. Because in the storm, even in the storm, he is with you. God is with you. You are not alone. Because the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Father, I thank you today for your word. I pray the life that it speaks to us, the peace that it would bring to us, would saturate each and every heart and life in this room this morning.